All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is John Zodi, is the chair of the Indiana Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party in Indiana has been raising a number of questions all summer. Has the Republican Party in Indiana, have they lost their sense of ethics? Have they lost their sense of direction? It seems the governor is spending more time in states that have Republican primaries for president than he is in counties that are having elections this fall. John Zodi is the chair of the party, and he joins me live. John, how you doing?
I'm good, Amos. Thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. So, has the Republican Party become the party of no ethics?
Well, I think to answer your question, you just in your intro, D, all of the above. It's lost in direction. They've lost their sense of what's right for the state. Led by a governor who has spent more time out of state than he has, I think, worrying about the challenges of Indiana.
We have a statewide election. We don't have a federal statewide election. There's no United States Senate seat up. And
that's
so
right.
Secretary of State, Auditor, and Treasurer are up. And for the first time in a long time, the people that are in those offices now are all appointed. They have never yet been elected by Hoosiers, and this is unprecedented.
It is. The three people who were elected in 2010 did not finish their terms for a variety of reasons, starting with the conviction of former Republican Secretary of State Charlie White.
Does it also say something that Richard Murdoch, who quit as state treasurer at the end of last month, who decried the Chrysler bailout, who was always talking about he was going to be a great steward of the taxpayers' money, he quit just so he could get more money in his pension?
Well, I think it does say something. And let me start by saying that there are all kinds of public servants and tons of state employees who are retired and maybe taking early retirement. But the difference is that Richard Murdoch was elected to serve the state of Indiana as our state treasurer, our state CFO, if you will, along with the financial responsibilities of the state auditor's office that individual carries. So for him to leave his office 4 months before his term is up, and then, as you pointed out, try to put other Hoosiers out of work and try to deny them benefits, I think really says something about the nature of some of the public servants we have in the state house and what their long-term goals are for the state and maybe for themselves.
Usually, if somebody is a second-term governor, in other words, you were reelected and you're in your second term, a lot of the people that served with that governor in the first term, after year five, year six, they want to get out and do other things. But it seems that with the Pence administration, there have been a lot of turnover in his top officials, people that are heading major state agencies, in less than 2 years.
Right. And I think that's because when there's no strong leader at the top, people... there's direction that needs to be given, and when that's not given, you've seen turnover. And there are always folks who move on and do other things, but you've seen a departure at the Department of Child Services. Troy Woodruff has left the Department of Transportation for reasons other than just lack of leadership from the governor. So there have been these changes, and even within the governor's office, there have been changes that has led him to bring on four people who are all making over $100,000 a year, and his office budget itself is looking kind of bloated.
So now here you are. We're facing an election in less than 60 days. What's the priority for Democrats? The Republicans have a supermajority in the legislature. Is the goal for Democrats in the legislature to try to carve seats back, want seat by seat by seat?
Yes, that's exactly the priority in the legislature. As you pointed out, there's a supermajority from the Republican Party in both chambers. We are realistic about our prospects this year. We are realistic about our goals. We are realistic about the priorities and where they need to be. And to start chipping away at those supermajorities, we can pick up a handful of seats. We're not trying to take back the majority overnight. It's not going to happen. But showing people that we are realistic and focused, I think, has shown some results, and people are bought into the strategy of us slowly but surely being able to come back in the General Assembly, and that starts with chipping away at those supermajorities.
As you have talked to your candidates that are out there, particularly who are fighting seats that are held by Republicans,
Are they starting to hear from their constituencies? They're raising these questions, or are these all questions that only concern people in the capital city and people out in the real world of Indiana are more concerned with, hey, are the crops coming in on time? Are there jobs in my area? Or how are schools doing?
Well, they are worried about all of those things, and so our candidates are out talking about what they're for. There are, you know, people who want to see the minimum wage raised. That's a potent issue. People are certainly noticing and paying attention to the ongoing battle to save our public schools and to fight for public schools with what's going on with the State Board of Education and Superintendent Ritz is an ongoing struggle that Democrats are talking about. The economy is always first, and so whatever light you put that in is what people are going to listen to. You and I have talked on a number of occasions about voting rights and things like that, and so our candidates are out talking about what the Democratic Party is going to do to take the state into the future, what they're for. We can talk all day about things that could be better here in the state, and our candidates have to be able to do that, but they also have to talk about what they're going to be for when they're elected.
How critical, obviously everybody is focusing on this year's election. You've got three candidates led by Beth White, the Marion County Clerk who's running for Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an auditor candidate who is a real CPA.
Yep.
And I heard he knows how to balance a book.
He does.
You've got a treasurer candidate that isn't interested in the pension. He's interested in doing the job. What kind of sense are you getting from them?
Well, that they're energized and they are seeing some energy. As we spoke about at the beginning of the session here, the offices are open, all of them, and we're seeing constant turnover out of the State House. So for us to be making an argument that it's important to restore balance, restore some transparency at the State House, all of that is really coming to fruition when we see a constant turnover in statewide elected officials, constant issues coming up with respect to ethics. Our candidates running are professionals. They're all longtime public servants, not career politicians, but public servants who know what they're talking about and know the issues. And so it is coming together, I think, the message with making sure that we're able to restore some balance and transparency with the news that we've been seeing coming out of the State House, and our candidates are seeing the response to that.
With John Zodi, the chair of the Indiana Democratic Party, 239-1310, 239-1310. If you got a question, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. John, in order for your statewide candidates to have a chance, they need to come out of Marion County with not only to win Marion County, they got to win it big. They got to have, you know, a huge win behind their sails coming out of Marion County. Are you concerned that the Republican Party here in Marion County did not field candidates in many of the Democratic legislative districts? The congressional candidate against Andre Carson is not the strongest candidate, say, even though they won the primary, that's out there. Are you concerned that, and even the candidates for county office in Marion County really have not made a whole lot of noise in this campaign so far? Are you concerned that there's more buzz on next year's mayor's race than there is on the local races, and that could hurt turnout? If that hurts turnout, that hurts the margin that Beth White and your other statewide candidates need to have a chance to win?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. The turnout in the primary statewide was very, very low. Mm-hmm. And so not just in Marion County. We are, you know, always worried about turnout. That's what we spend most of our time doing, is figuring out how to get people out to vote. I think the Marion County Democratic Party organization is strong, and they're already doing things to make sure that they're communicating and contacting voters, and those candidates are right on board with that, and making sure that we're getting the right message out there. The fact that the local Republican Party didn't field candidates, I think, speaks to the fact that we have strong legislators and strong legislative candidates here in Marion County. People don't always like to see races go unopposed, but you also have to prioritize. And so, you know, I know on our side, if we have a race that where there's no Democratic candidate, where we've got a Republican incumbent, for instance, maybe that race we don't feel can be necessarily competitive. And so you have to look at that's the same on the other side of the aisle, that if they don't feel like they can be competitive in a race, it may be hard to get somebody to run. So I think there are a lot of reasons why they haven't fielded candidates here in Marion County, but the organization is strong on our side, and we're doing everything we can to combat the expected low turnout. We're in a midterm election here, and second, you know, midterm of a president's second term, and as you pointed out, no federal election at the national level and at the state level this year. So this is the year every 12 years in Indiana where we have an election cycle of this nature, and so we're doing everything we can to fight that historical trend.
Now, you're the state chair, so you have to stay neutral on races for next year that haven't even developed yet. But are you concerned that all this talk and publicity about next year's Indianapolis mayor's race could take away some media attention on this year's race, or the enthusiasm level of people enthused about next year's mayor's race on the Democratic side might have a benefit getting Democrats enthused early for this year?
I think that's a good question, Amos. And I think, when I sit back and think about it a minute, I honestly think it helps that there is attention focused on next year, because people in the Democratic Party in Indiana know where we are. They are, as I've stated a number of times already, that we're realistic, and they know that this is a long-term strategy. So when they see a realistic approach for this year and our goals being modest and knowing where we need to be, and then they see next year some energy already ramping up over a major race here in the capital city for our municipal elections next year, I think it helps the energy level this year, because people say, okay, we've got something to look forward to already. There's, you're right, I'm not going to take a side in the mayor's race, but there is some energy building around that race already. So I think it helps, because people say, okay, well, let's, you know, when we're looking at 2016, what's gonna happen there? So they see that there is a long-term approach already starting from candidates.
So now all these postcards, the Secretary of State, Connie Lawson, sent out to check where you voting, where you're supposed to vote. She's gotten all these postcards back. Tens of thousands of registered voters have been placed in an inactive list, but that means they are still active. Is the party going to be communicating that if you voted for president 2 years ago, you are still properly registered, even if you move, go back to the old place one more time to vote, and if people try to turn you around, stand your ground?
Yeah, exactly. We actually, as a matter of fact, I've got a draft message that we are constantly thinking of ways to communicate this to our folks and to the public. And just last weekend we had our convention down at French Lick, which you may be aware of, and some people asked me, yeah, it's really important people understand that they have not been removed from a voting list yet. And all you have to do is go on and verify your information if you're concerned that you might have been placed on the inactive list. And then you have to go vote. And the number one thing you can do to sort of wash all this away is to make sure you get out there and vote. And so the education process there is really, really important. And we're doing everything we can to make sure people that is communicated, that people in our party, people that ask other people to consider going out and voting, understand what that means. And so that's something we are, number one, concerned about, and number two, doing our best to educate our folks and the public on.
We don't have a Senate election, and I know the National Democratic Party, the Democratic National Committee, is focusing on states where there's Senate elections to energize African-American voters. But given all the attention that's been made to Ferguson, Missouri, and the fact that voters in Ferguson, Missouri turned out for presidential elections and they stayed home for local elections, will the party be emphasizing, particularly to the African-American community, remember Ferguson, don't stay home in a local election, vote this November, in this local election?
Yeah, I think with local elections, you've got to talk about what issues are important in the community, and certainly Ferguson highlighted some problems in that community. And so our candidates will be talking about all kinds of things. Certainly the issues prevalent here in Indianapolis have already come to the forefront a little bit, but you have to talk about issues in your community, because that's where the rubber meets the road. It's happening on sidewalks and streets and in front yards and backyards, and everything that happens in the community is right there. And so you've got to be able to convince people that voting in local elections is just as important as a vote for president, because number one, if you are political, you're helping the entire party move the community forward if that's how you're voting. But more importantly, you are helping secure your community. You're taking an active voice in what's happening in your community, and that's so, so important in our local municipal elections, because you can't have a healthy state if you don't have healthy and safe communities, and that's just That's just plain and simple.
All right, so if people want more information about who the candidates, Democrats have this election year, what's the website? How can they find out more information?
That's www.indems.org.
And
you can also see us on Facebook, and we communicate messages on behalf of our candidates constantly.
All right, so that's INDEMS, INDEMS.org. John Zody, the chair of the Indiana Democratic Party, always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Amos, thanks.